This is 89.1 KMUW, NPR for Wichita, a service of Wichita State University. Up now on Musical Space, guest commentator Kelly St. Pierre looks at what makes an iconic song of the anti-war movement so unusual.
When I heard Arlo Guthrie play at the Orpheum a few months ago, I decided that Alice's Restaurant has to be one of the weirdest songs in music history. And not just because of Guthrie's characteristic irony, but because Alice's Restaurant is a protest song that somehow believes people will bother listening to the end. Protest music, almost by definition, is for people who won't listen. It's a platform for an otherwise silenced group. Guthrie wasn't silenced. He was somehow granted a good 18 minutes of stage time in Alice's Restaurant to make his point. The voices typically represented in protest music are oppressed. Ice-T had to scream his cop killer, and Creedence Clearwater Revival's Fortunate Son had to be noisy to be heard. Protest songs that are pretty, like We Shall Overcome, are effective exactly because of their singability, so those oppressed can come together to form one louder voice. Guthrie invites many voices to unite by collectively singing the refrain to Alice's Restaurant at the draft office, so that the song might be part of an anti-massacre movement. But even though this is protest music, its length shows that Guthrie's was also a privileged allied voice, and this is the reason that Alice's Restaurant is such a weird song. Other allies like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Bob Dylan were heard too, but Arlo Guthrie's protest song compels the audience to keep listening through its 18 minutes, as though Guthrie wrote a protest song with time to spare, knowing his message would eventually come through. For KMUW, I'm Kelly St. Pierre.
My friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant, but Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Foch is a dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving, and we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before, and with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, not the